Well, hi, this is Steve Hall. Thanks for listening to the podcast today. I think you're going to really enjoy this one. I'm sitting here with a person I love to be with. Of all the people in the world, this is the one I want to hang out with. If I get some time to spend alone with one person, she's it. She's my best friend. And I'm just thrilled that God's allowed me to have her for a wife. I think he's made her very beautiful, both externally and internally. And it's a thrill for me to get to be married to her. And love, after 26 years of marriage, I'm serious about this, and you've heard me talk like this before. I have to pinch myself sometimes to make sure I'm just not dreaming. It's really true. I'm getting to be married to you. So thank you for hanging around all this time. I really appreciate it.
Well, we may at this point begin to make people gag, but I feel like I am the blessed one. I have the most wonderfully God-given, godly man for a husband. Whenever I hear a sermon on what a godly husband is all about, I can look at you and say, thank you, Jesus, because you've given me that. I do not have a better friend in this world, and I do not have a better supporter. I'm just very thankful to be your wife.
Well, one of the things that just, you know this, but others don't. One of the things that makes me so happy, one of the happiest moments of my life, is when we get a day off together, nobody else, and we get to get in the car and just take a drive and be gone for a few hours, find a place to eat, find some places to see some of God's creation, and just hang out. It's the highlight of my life. I love it. I love it. I love it. And if we can say something here today that will help others maybe experience that same kind of thing, this will be a successful conversation.
It will be a joy to be able to share what the Lord has done for us. And I'm right there with you. The most wonderful times in my life have been, especially in the car, but even in our living room, sitting, talking about the Lord, learning more, teaching each other, as well as just basking in His blessings.
Yeah. And He has blessed us, and we're sitting in our living room right now, as a matter of fact, looking out our window, and we can see the rain on this rainy Saturday, and more cheese in the background through the mist, and it's beautiful, it's gorgeous, and I love it, too.
Yes.
One of the reasons I wanted to do this is to give our grandkids a chance to hear this conversation. Mm-hmm. Maybe it won't matter too much to them at this age, but maybe a few years from now it'll mean a lot to them.
Yes.
Our oldest ones are 12 at this point, and we love them to death. And they may be a little too young, like I said, to appreciate it yet. But hopefully in the future, it will be something that will encourage them and strengthen them and help them walk closer to the Lord.
I certainly hope so.
Yeah.
Yes.
Usually, I start these conversations with the people I've had these conversations with, talking about personal testimony. I think I'm not going to do that today because how long ago was it? Just a few months ago, you shared your personal testimony with us in our Adult 5B class at Sevier Heights.
Yes, that's a great honor, and I praise the Lord for that opportunity, and so we probably don't need to.
You did a great job of that, and for those of you who haven't heard it, she sang some songs and shared some testimony, just kind of mixed it up. And if you want to hear it, go to our podcast page where all the podcasts are listed, boundingjoy.com/blog, and then type in the search window, Vicky, and V-I-C-K-I-E, and you can find that testimony and listen to it. You really ought to listen to it if you haven't heard it yet. So today, hopefully, we're going to talk about our marriage relationship and some keys of successful marriage from our perspective. But who knows where the conversation might wind up. So I want to thank you again for being willing to do it. I guess I'm going to owe you a trip to Fall Creek sometime.
Yes.
which is maybe our favorite place to go when we get a chance to go somewhere for a couple of days.
Mm, yeah. Take out the maybe.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Some of you heard her say this, but several years ago, we started going to Fall Creek Falls, especially. It's kind of our place, but when we can get a day or two to take off, and there's some beautiful places to hike over there, and they have great meals in their restaurant, and we just in a great place to be. And as a teacher, I got a discount for going over there, so that was pretty cool. But we still like to do that. It's just been a great place for us to recharge our spiritual batteries.
Yes, which is important for every couple. Mm-hmm. You've got to have time totally alone, away from the day-to-day journeys that you have to focus on each other and the Lord.
Yeah, and it may cost a little money, but it's certainly money well spent. But anyway, I want us to talk about marriage today just because I think in so many ways it's so foundational. And sometimes I think, maybe all Bible studies ought to start off talking about marriage. And it's not just because so many marriages are in trouble today. We know that's the case. There are so many marriages that are so weak and so fragile and breaking up and having all kinds of trouble. And we want to do anything we can to help that, of course. Yes. But it's not just that. But it's because the Bible says the closest we can get to understanding what our relationship is with Jesus is our relationship with our spouse.
Right.
I mean, he's the groom and we're the bride.
Yes.
And so he gives us marriage to picture that relationship. And if our relationship with each other is messed up, it just messes up the picture of what our relationship is supposed to be with him.
That's
right. So, you know, when we made our vows to each other that we're going to be one, it's a model of the vows we make with Christ. You know, we're one with him.
That's right.
And everything that's his becomes ours. Everything that's ours become his. We've got the sin, he's got the riches, and he exchanges that, and we're united to him forever. Which brings us to a point maybe that we need to just hit head on right out of the gate, because there are going to be some people who know us very well. And you say, look, you know, you guys have been through divorce. You've both been through divorce. How can you possibly set yourselves up to talk to us about succeeding in marriage? You couldn't do it. You want to speak to that, Lon?
Well, I do, because we are sinners. We've made bad choices. Everybody listening to this podcast is in the same boat. They may not have made the same bad choices, but they've made them. And if you are truly a child of the Lord, you can and should and do repent. And when you do that, you receive forgiveness. And the Lord promises that he takes those sins and he removes them as far as the east is from the west. He throws them into the depths of the sea, and they are no longer a part of his memory. And he lets you start over. And praise the Lord, he's let me start over. I made horrible choices when I was younger, totally out of his will as far as my marriage partnership went. And he has forgiven all of that and given me a godly man and a new start. And I'm so thankful.
Yeah, and it just illustrates, even when we both admit openly, hey, we've blown it, we messed up big time, and it's embarrassing to have to go back and think about that. But God can work good out of sin, even.
He does, and he has.
Yeah.
It's just an awesome example and opportunity to experience his forgiveness.
Yeah. You know, one of the stats on divorce and remarriage is that you know, people who are married for the second time, who've been through divorce, are far more likely to be divorced again than other marriages. So we've made it now for 26 years. I don't think either one of us is close to filing papers.
Absolutely not.
and so maybe a good question could be, why has our marriage worked? What's different about this situation than so many others who go through a divorce and then another divorce and then another divorce sometimes? You know, what's made ours stick? What's made it last?
In my opinion, it's an opportunity that the Lord has given us to learn from those experiences and to become different people. I think, in my opinion, the major problem in marriage today is selfishness.
Oh, yeah.
You cannot be selfish and make a relationship work, whether it's the first or the fifth. You just can't do it. And while I am not saying that we both are totally selfless at this point, I think he drove home to each one of us the horribleness of being selfish and what it leads to, so that we do our best to avoid that.
Yeah, that's good. I think you said two or three things that I want to go back and emphasize. Number one, we don't set ourselves up as having the perfect marriage. We haven't learned it all yet.
No, we're not perfect.
We're still working on it, so we're not trying to say, look at us, we're better than everybody else. But we do realize we learned a lot of hard lessons.
Yes.
And I think maybe going through the failure of our first marriages, you know, that it was terrible, involved a lot of sin and a lot of ignorance,
yes,
you know,
yes.
I think caused both of us to decide, okay, let's do this right. Let's try to get this right.
Yeah.
And it kind of drove us to study more, think more, pray more, try to get it right, try to mm-hmm. figure out what makes a marriage work. Mm-hmm. And I think that's made a big difference for us.
It has. And to have the opportunity to gain wisdom from other people, the marriage enrichment books and mm-hmm. things that we've gone through together and that we continue to go through together.
Yeah.
We've done our best to implement those suggestions.
Yeah.
That's the key. You can't just read them. You got to change yourself. You can't change your spouse.
Yeah.
You can't change other people. You have to change yourself.
Yes, that's so good. That is so good. It's so true. And when you said something about selfishness being the problem, I'm afraid that a lot of our younger married people don't really realize, can't quite see just how selfish they really are being.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's got to do with the way we raise our kids, the way they themselves were raised.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have a culture now that almost always communicates to kids, it's all about you.
Yes.
I mean, you decide what's best for you. You know what's best for you. Don't let somebody else take advantage of you. You make the decisions. You call the shots. You know. And mm-hmm. so if a child grows up that way, by the time they get 17 or 18 years old, they have a hard time identifying their own selfishness. It's
right.
just the way life is for them.
Right.
And then if they get married,
yep.
and they're married to someone else who's struggling with the same kind of thing, there's a blindness there. You know, you cannot see your own selfishness, but you sure can see the other person's.
Right.
And
right.
so, first thing you know, they're trying to get what's best for themselves, and the marriage is just crumbling.
Yeah, and that's where you hear this 50-50 thing, which is totally ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's 100 and 100.
Yeah.
You have to give 100%.
Yeah.
And the other person has to give 100%. Yeah. Like you've said so many times, one person can totally destroy a marriage.
Oh, yeah.
You can do all you personally can to make things work, to do things in a godly manner. But if it's not a two-way street, it's not going to work.
Yeah. And if you make up your mind, you want to make your marriage work, and you're going to do everything you can to make it work, you have a better chance of making it work, but you cannot guarantee another person's going to respond to that. If another person is determined to be selfish, that person can destroy the marriage.
That's true.
It's just the way it works.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned some of the books that we've read. I think maybe our favorite has been Willard Harley's.
Yes, His Needs, Her Needs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then go ahead.
And Love Busters that goes along with it. But for years, you and I talked about, after our initial learning period of getting to know each other, we talked so often about the different things that the Lord had taught us through the failure of our first marriage and then working His way, implementing His ideas, Jesus, for our marriage and just the different little ideas. And then when we found His Needs, Her Needs, it was like, wow. Somebody else put these things together. It was exactly what we thought all along.
If we could have written a book.
Yeah. I highly recommend it.
Yeah. And it's the kind of book, I've also told people this through the years, it's a kind of book that you just can't read one time and put it on the shelf either.
Right.
You've got to internalize it by reading it enough and meditating on it enough, thinking about it enough, talking about it enough that you begin to get it in your mind, in your heart, in your being, how this works. But it is. It's a fabulous book.
And it's so much a part of our attitude toward marriage that it is a traditional gift for us that we give to newly married people.
Yeah. And I'm sure in many cases it winds up on the shelf. But if a few people will get into it and really get into it, it will make a difference in their marriage.
Yeah.
And it may be that their marriage will get in trouble at some point and they'll pick it up and check it out. So I can pray for that. Let's talk about another issue that I think we've seen in other couples that troubles us and creates maybe some concern. And that is, you and I both try to keep Christ as Lord of our lives and Lord of our marriage, and we're very serious about that.
Yes.
a lot of people give lip service to that, but in truth, they have maybe a different God. Sometimes their spouse is like is more important to them than God. Mm. Sometimes their children are more important to them than God.
Yes.
And we believe that creates problems. You want to talk about that a little bit?
It does. Yeah, we see this in some of our own children, and it troubles us so much that when you make your child your idol, you totally leave Jesus out of the picture, and that can't be the way it is. When we had someone tell us when we first got married, when all is said and done, it's going to be you, Steve, and the Lord. Mm-hmm. The children will be gone. Mm-hmm. It'll be you, Steve, and the Lord. And if you don't cultivate that relationship, all will be over.
Yeah. And we probably ought to point out for people who might not be aware of this that when they pointed that out to us when we first married, at that time, when we got married, we didn't have any alone time, really. Our marriage started out with 7 kids.
Yes.
The youngest one was 3 and the oldest one 13. All boys.
Yes. Yes.
All boys. And so, sure enough, the time eventually came. It didn't seem like it would ever come, but the time eventually came when the last one left the nest.
That's right. At least so far. There are boomerang children, and we have several. So at this point, we don't have anybody in the house.
Yeah, we've had several boomerangs, haven't we? That's true.
Yeah.
Mason may have another one of these days, but anyway, at the moment, we don't have any. Yeah, and if I could go back just for a second and talk a little bit more about the selfish thing, how hard it is to recognize. When you mentioned the 50-50 thing, made me think, you know, the problem with that is it. Everybody thinks they're already doing more than their fair share. So 50-50 is the illusion you're talking about there. But if you feel like, well, I'm already doing 75%, and the other spouse feels like, well, I'm already doing 75%, then you both feel like you ought to back off. And if you just make up your mind, I need to do everything I can possibly do. I need to give 100% of my life here to support this relationship and do whatever I can to be not a selfish person. Let Christ meet my needs, and I'm going to meet your needs, and then the best I know how.
Mm-hmm.
And if we both have that attitude, I think He's going to do something wonderful through that.
Well, it is. And you have to be willing, part of what Mr. Harley says, you have to be willing to learn how your spouse receives love.
Yeah.
How do they see it?
Yeah.
It's not probably going to be the way you see it.
Right.
You know, a man is normally going to see love from his wife through admiration, through encouragement, through uplifting him, and showing that she is, in the right manner, proud to be his wife. Whereas women, on the other hand, more than likely are going to see love through affection and conversation and things. There's a whole list. Look at that book.
Yeah.
That's going to tell you, but you got to learn.
Yeah.
How your wife or your husband sees and receives love.
And we're all marriages are unique, therefore, because all people are unique. So some women may feel a strong need for that admiration. You know, most guys, though, in general, this is just in general, most guys really do. They need that desperately. They need the sexual attention desperately.
Yes.
They need recreational companionship desperately.
Right.
And most wives feel that need for affection and for conversation. And so he goes through the whole list there, and it's really worthwhile. It's just good stuff. But now let's go back to the fact that we want to keep Christ as Lord of our lives and as center of our lives. Maybe somebody's saying, okay, how do you do that? What do you do to cause that to happen? You want to answer that question?
Yeah, first of all, I would like to say that you need to be better than I was. When we first got married, you, as my husband, encouraged me that we needed to have a specific time every day, most likely being early in the morning, that we spend with the Lord in Bible study, devotion time, prayer, and just to get that connection with Him and each other. And I'll have to admit that I went kicking and screaming for several years because
you're not a morning person. Yeah.
I have never, nobody who knows me well has ever accused me of being a morning person. However, one day the Lord got my attention, and that's another thing. Listen to the Holy Spirit. The Lord got my attention. I began to set my alarm early and get up and have that time with you and with the Lord. And it has made an enormous difference for me personally, but I think also in our communication together.
Yes. Yeah, and that's been going on now. That's been many years ago. We've been doing that for many years. And for those of you who might be interested in doing what we're doing, there are all kinds of ways to do this, but we usually have about half an hour maybe in the morning.
Yeah, so, sometimes more, but at least half an hour.
And that usually means, guys, you're going to have to get up a little earlier for most people, which usually means you got to go to bed a little earlier. The discipline, I believe, comes in getting to bed. Because a lot of young adults, they want to stay up and watch TV. They're rushing around trying to get things done at home, and they're having a late supper, and they go to bed totally exhausted way too late, and then they want to sleep as late as they possibly can, get up at a rush off to work. And it's a destructive pattern. You've got to make the decision to be disciplined to get to bed early.
Yes.
So you can get up when that alarm goes off and have a leisurely half hour for devotion to the morning.
Right. Yeah.
And the way we've done it through the years is we just pick a book of the Bible to work through, and we'll just bounce around from one place to another, sometimes the Old Testament, sometimes the New Testament, and we'll start working our way through that Bible, through that book. And usually just a few verses. You read it in a couple of translations is the way we're doing it right now.
Yep.
And then there's a guy named David Guzik who has a commentary on many of the books of the Bible. We don't agree with everything he has to say. That's always going to be true. But he's got a pretty decent commentary you can find online. It's free. Blue Letter Bible and other places. If you type in David Guzik, I think it's G-U-Z-I-K. Is that right?
I believe that's right.
Anyway, you can find his commentaries. He doesn't have commentaries in every book of the Bible, but many of them. And I will just read some of his, well, let me back up. You'll read the verses. Of course, we pray first, and then you read those verses, and then we will talk about the verses, just what we see, what we hear, and then when we've kind of exhausted that, we'll read what Guzik has to say and agree or disagree, and maybe converse a little bit more, and then we'll go on to the next passage.
Right.
And the past several months, I guess, we've started doing a Proverbs study as well. We do that first, and we do four verses of Proverbs, and if I start trying to explain how we choose those verses, it'd take the rest of our podcast time, I guess.
Would it take even longer than that for me to understand it, but as long as you tell me where it is,
it's okay. It works really well. if I could try to say it in a nutshell, we'll see if this works, but we divide the book up four verses at a time. And whatever day of the month it is, like today is the 19th day of July, so we would be in chapter 19. That always is consistent. You're always in the chapter of the same day of the month. But then the complication comes in when you try to figure out what verses to be in. So in January, we do verses 1 through 3. And in February, 4 through 7. And March, 8 through 11, and so we just go up by fours, except for that first
month. Threes.
Well, 1 through 3 is only 3, but then 4, 5, 6, and 7 is 4.
See, that's why I don't get into that part.
And we just work our way through that way. So by month, this month, for example, we're in the 24th verse. We start every day on the 24th verse. Next month, we'll start every day on the 28th verse, etc. I'm sorry, I tried. It works for us. But just keep Christ at the center of your marriage. Okay, that's one thing we do. Talk some more about what we do.
Well, I think that, of course, I'm not in the intimate conversations with anybody else in their homes whenever they're totally alone, but it seems to me that the Lord has given us an awareness of His presence. Mm. So that our conversations will just always include the Lord. Whenever we're talking about something, no matter what the subject, it seems that we're able to talk to Him instead of about Him. And many times we will individually just speak to Him and pray about whatever that subject is.
Yeah.
And I think that's a unique opportunity.
Yeah, and it's something that we all have to work at. Because He's invisible, and because He doesn't speak audibly to us, He speaks through His Word, We can ignore him. It's easy to ignore him, and especially if you live a very hectic, busy life and you've got a job that requires a lot of attention and and you've got kids clamoring for attention, and it can be easy to just forget that he's even here. And so I think he really has helped us through the years to realize he's here. And we can stop and talk to him from time to time as we go.
It, and for me, that it makes me much more aware, obviously, of his constant presence and helps me to be more sensitive to his Holy Spirit.
Amen. That's good. That's good. A while ago, we were teasing about Fall Creek. It has been a while since we've been to Fall Creek. We need to think about getting back.
Believe me, I'm aware of that.
I started to say, I don't know if I said this or not, but... But everybody who knows us very well will know that many years ago when we started making these trips, Vicky got the idea. She's, her spiritual gift, by the way, is organization. She's a great organizer. And she got the idea that it would be a lot simpler when we make these trips to already have a suitcase put together of mainly
toiletries
and things like that.
Everyday things you use.
So that's just already done. So when we decide to make a trip, you don't have to stop and think, okay, have I got the toothpaste, or have I got the toothbrush, or have I got the mouthwash, or got the, you know, it's all there. And so she will usually respond when I say it's getting close to time for Fall Creek call. She'll say something like, I can be ready in 10 minutes, you know. And she doesn't mean that figuratively.
No, that includes the puppy, too.
Now,
the Lord gave me the idea several years ago to not only make up that toiletry bag, but also to make myself a list of everything that you would normally need to pack and take on a trip. So I have in my iPad and on my phone a check-off list so that all I have to do is open that suitcase and start throwing things in, check it off, and I seriously can be done in 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love it. And now that gets us to a more general topic here about that spending time alone together. You said something about getting away and how important it is, and we believe in that. But, of course, some couples find it difficult to get away. Some couples feel like they can't afford it, and others just feel like they can't, they don't have the time. So what would you tell other couples? What else could they do to make sure they've got that one-on-one concentrated time together?
Well, especially people who have young children need this, you know, to be a very dedicated time. I think date night or date morning, a very, very specific and inviolable time that you have, I think, every week that you are going to either get a sitter or drop the kids off, get grandparents involved. We're willing to help our kids out and do this kind of thing, where you have the opportunity to just focus on each other for at least a couple of hours. And you don't have to do anything expensive. You can go down to the local burger joint and just get a Coke if you're not hungry or you don't have the money. You can just go for a drive and talk with each other. But this is a time where we're not talking about going to a movie. And we're not talking about sitting at home and watching television.
Because you're talking talking to each other then.
It's face-to-face, one-on-one time, so that you concentrate on each other and on your relationship.
Going for walks. We love to go for
that's
walks.
That's a good idea.
And going for drives, of course, when nobody else is in the car, like you said. But and especially when your marriage is still young and you still got young kids at home. I mean, God's blessed us and brought us through those years, and now we have more time one-on-one than probably we've ever had before. But for younger couples, that's not easy. And that's when you use the word inviolable. I don't know what you meant by that, because there's so many ways. When we were first married with all these boys, it was not easy for us to get that time alone. And so I think our night was Thursday night then, wasn't it? And and we had a babysitter. And we had to pay for that babysitter. But we thought it was money well spent, because it gave us time. You know, like you said, sometimes we couldn't afford maybe to eat out, but we could afford to go get a Coke or go take a walk in a park and just be alone together away from the boys for a little while. And I think you're right. Everybody needs to program that. And it was amazing. I can remember how many things would try to interfere with that.
Yes.
It would be so hard to keep it. You know, we'd think, well, this Thursday I need to do this, or this Thursday somebody's asking me to do this, or this, and we just had to decide, no, this is priority. And so when somebody says, this is a meeting you really need to be at, I'm sorry, I got another commitment. Or we really want you to come to this, we're going to do this together, I'm sorry, I've got another commitment. We just thought it was so important for us to keep building that relationship.
Yes, it is. Yeah. It is. And also, you know, in addition to that, I guess my spiritual gift comes in here, but I think scheduling and structure for the children as well as the family unit is so important. Those children need to have a specific bedtime, and it needs to be early enough that not only do they get enough sleep, but also that mom and dad have at least some time together before they go to sleep.
Yes, that's good. Really important. Really important. You know, you bring up the kids again, and we'll do another one of these days, maybe just spend a little more time talking about our personal beliefs about child rearing, discipline, and loving kids, and that kind of thing. But we talked earlier about how a spouse or a child can become God to us, and we can make them more important than the Lord, which is destructive and terrible, does terrible damage to a marriage. We've seen statistics, I can't quote them right now, of how many couples split up after the kids grow up. You know, it's like their marriage has been all about the kids, not about each other. Mm-hmm. And so when the kids are gone, the marriage doesn't have anything left. And so many times it falls apart. I heard another sad statistic just today I was listening to a testimony of a dad who had, he and his wife had five kids, and four of them were girls, and one of them was a little boy, 5 years old. And through a tragic accident, that boy was killed. And it was kind of his dad's fault. He was on a dune buggy with him, and he rolled it over. Mm. And they mentioned the statistic that when a young child dies in a family, 89%, they've quoted this more than once, 89% of those marriages fail.
Yeah, yeah.
Which tells me, it's very sad, and obviously that would be very traumatic for anybody to lose a five-year-old boy.
Yes.
But it happens. And it tells me the sad thing is those marriages were too much about the child and not enough about their relationship with the Lord and with each other.
Yeah.
So they could survive that kind of horrible battering, you know. And it's something I think that everybody needs to be aware of. I mean, people who have young kids, if you started talking about that child dying, many of them would say, I don't want to think about that. Well, of course we don't want to think about it.
Right.
But it's real.
It is.
And it happens.
It is.
And we need to do what we can to be prepared for the worst. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think we have to be morbid.
No, but we have to make sure there again that Jesus is the center of that marriage and that family.
Yeah.
Because if not, the whole thing's going to fall apart.
Yeah.
He has to be first.
Yeah.
The child can't be first. Yeah. The husband can't be first. The wife can't be first. Jesus has to be first. Then daddy and mama. Then the babies.
Yeah.
It's the only way it'll work.
Yeah. And the truth is, Jesus is the only thing we won't lose. Sooner or later, we're going to die, or our spouse is going to die, or our kids are going to die. You know, Jesus is the only one
that
we can count on being there.
That's right.
Through the whole thing.
Yes.
Yeah. It's so important. Well, love, there are so many other things I want us to talk about, and I really do want to have us follow up to this pretty soon.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm afraid if we keep talking now too long, people are going to look at the length of the podcast and say, good grief, I don't have time for that, and never listen. So maybe they'll listen to this one, I hope. I pray so. But let's, we got so many other things that I think are so critically important to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
For the benefit of anybody who's willing to listen, that I want us to do another one, okay?
I would love to do that. By the Lord's grace, we might be able to help someone else.
Okay. Well, why don't we pray then before we stop this? Father, I want to thank you for this incredible woman you've given me to be my wife.
Okay.
And I thank you for the wisdom you've given her and that she shares with me. And I thank you for what you've taught us through the years. Lord, thank you that you've caused her, and I think you've caused me too, to be somewhat teachable at least, and to realize that we still have a lot to learn, and we still got a long way to go, but you have brought us a long way. And I thank you for the things you have shown us and taught us. And I pray that that even though our marriage isn't perfect and it's not the ideal, for anybody that some of the things we've learned, that we'll be able to talk about them here so that we can maybe share it with other people. And I think about our grandkids in a few years as they start thinking about romantic relationships and marriage. I pray that maybe they'll be able to hear some of this, and maybe the person that you've already got prepared for them, that they don't even know yet, that someday they'll be getting married to, I pray that that they too will be maybe at some point in time listening to this and learning and having the kinds of marriages that will bring you great glory, have the kind of marriages that will represent you really well, so that people who see their marriage can identify with what you're saying in your word about the relationship between Christ and the church. Father, there may be others who are listening, and it would certainly cause us to rejoice if our kids or our sons, our daughters-in-law, our friends, other people maybe we don't even know would hear and not only learn personal instructions from this, but maybe learn things that they could share with other people as well to help other marriages and other places become more like the kind of marriages you want us to have. So thank you for this time. Thank you for hearing us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being patient with us. Thank you for the way you forgive us when we blow it over and over again. Thank you that you're so gracious and you pick us up and you start us off again as you teach us and lead us and bring us towards eternity. So use us for your glory and use this podcast for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.